On this episode, I'm delighted to be joined by one of the finest footballers this country has ever produced. A man who has won the Premier League 11 times, two Champions Leagues, and played over 700 times for his boyhood clubs. I was lucky to be an international teammate of his, and the stuff he used to do in training would baffle all of us. This is the legend that is Paul Scholes. Scholesy, thanks for joining us. With all our guests, go right back to the start. Because although you're a household name, you've been, you know, you're an enigma. Nobody really knows. What was it like growing up for Paul Scholes in Manchester?
Before football, do you mean?
Yeah.
Just very normal, working class background, I suppose, like everybody else. School life wasn't really that interested in. Just wanted to play any kind of sport I could do, whether it was football, cricket, anything, golf. I tried to get into anything, so, but yeah, grew up in a good place. I think it was a good place.
Yeah.
People look back, maybe say it was a little bit rough, council estate, but you know, at the time I loved it. I really enjoyed what I was doing, you know, through the week, especially playing football at weekends.
Yeah,
you play football every night, don't you?
I'm sure you're
exactly the same, playing for just three or four different teams at once. So very sporting background, following my dad everywhere. My dad playing Sunday morning football, Saturday afternoon amateur football. So it was always something sporty.
Was you always a Red?
As a kid, I was a big United fan, yeah.
Right.
But couldn't really afford to go to games, to be honest with you. My dad took me to the odd game. I remember coming to a game here against Chelsea, which would have been probably early 80s as an 8 or 9 year old kid. But my dad was a big Oldham fan.
Right, yes.
So ended up going to watch Oldham, and at the time Oldham had a quite successful and had a good team.
Yeah, that was the Premier League,
good to watch, it's 10 minutes from my house. So yeah, they were in Premier League at the time, they had great cup runs.
Yeah.
So yeah, ended up being an Oldham fan as well.
Yeah. I mean, we hear about you had a problem with asthma as a kid. Did you ever think, did that ever stand in your way? Because it's sort of something that I'm sure people know, but don't know. Was it a severe one, Scholesy, or was it ever?
Nah, I don't think it was that bad. It was more just sports-related asthma.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I was about probably 19 or 20 that it was diagnosed. I think it was from being a kid, but it wasn't. Especially in the, you know, extreme weather, in the hot weather, or in the cold weather as well, I really struggled breathing, and I went for some tests and ended up having inhalers all the time. I don't touch them now, I've not needed them. Out of playing football, it was something that's probably made quite a bit of that wasn't really that serious.
I mean, so you've gone to Man United 14, you know, I mean, especially in you're a bit older than me, so the way football was back then, now you hear the stories about how talented you was, but there was people doubting you because of your size, and did you have to come through that and deal with it?
Well, yeah, you do. I think it's probably a mental thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I had it from probably being 10, 11, 12 years of age when I was at Oldham at first. I was actually at Oldham School of Excellence first. And everybody just said, you'd be too small. There's no way you can be a footballer. You're too small. You can't cope physically with it. And it was never really something that put me off. It never affected me in a way. You don't know you're going to be a footballer, do you? Everybody has a dream to be a footballer. You never know it's going to happen. But size, because I felt from where I grew up and the teams I played for on Saturdays and Sunday mornings, that it made you streetwise anyway. So I felt I could look after myself. I'm not saying fighting or anything, but if I needed to look after myself on a football pitch, I felt I could do it. I never felt size was gonna go against me.
No, definitely. I've got the scars to prove it. A few games. I know you can look after yourself. The famous Paul Scholes tackles. So you had a great. Imagine, like, I mean, it's obviously the story's been told 1,000 times, but the class of '92. So you guys come through all together. I know how special that is because we had a similar thing with our West Ham team. We all come through and we won the Youth Cup, culminating in that. That must have felt like the absolute. Well, for me, winning the Youth Cup felt like the pinnacle when you do it. But because you're doing it with your friends growing up. How good was that team? Was you completely dominant all over the place, or anyone could even compete with you?
I suppose we were. We used to win most games Saturday mornings. Obviously, you played the.
Yeah.
I don't know up and down south, but we had the Lancashire League up here, so the A team and the B team. And yeah, we beat most teams. There wasn't many teams that could live with us, really. Obviously, there was the Leeds team. The Leeds team in 92, 93, I can't remember. Second year apprentice anyway, and they were very good. They beat us in the, I think they beat us in the final.
Anyone come through out of that team?
Yeah, there's a few. Jamie Forrester, I don't know if you remember, centre forward. Kevin Sharp.
Yeah.
Mark Tinkler.
Yeah.
Bowman. Noel Whelan.
Yeah, good player.
Leeds were a really good team. I think they beat us over two legs. But they were in the Lancashire League, so Saturday mornings, you didn't really. We knew we were good. Well, sorry, I don't mean that in an arrogant way, because we were beating most teams. You know, you've got your Liverpools, you've got your Man Cities, you've got your Evertons, your local teams you're playing against, and most of the time we was winning the league every year as well.
How close was Alex Ferguson to the youth team? And because back in, I remember Harry Redknapp with us. Yeah. He'd go and watch us on the Saturday before the Premier. You don't see that much now, do you?
No, I think now there's a big detachment, isn't there, from managers even knowing who some of the under 18 players are.
Yeah.
I think at that point you're in a small training ground.
Yeah,
there's probably one pitch, maybe an indoor pitch, and they're managing everyone. They're managing every single player that was in the building. And they used to come and watch us. I think there's probably a little buzz about the place that you know, we were beating teams 4 or 5 nil each week, and you know, looking like a really good team. And you know, we had quite a few come to watch us.
Yeah.
Saturday mornings, you had like a little bit of a following, and that obviously progresses to the first team, doesn't it? And you know, if they're playing at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, they're coming down to watch us on a Saturday morning. It's quite nerve wracking because you've got that glass window, and you've got Paul Ince, Mark Hughes, Brian Robson, all these legends of the club that you'd look up to, and then you've got the manager looking out of his office as well. It was quite nerve-wracking, but
he sounds so similar to the West. That's exactly what happened at West. Yeah. Obviously, to a lesser degree, because West Ham's a smaller club.
Yeah.
But Harry would come. Some of the first team players would come.
Yeah.
And it would like you'd want to show them.
Of course,
it
would.
But it doesn't happen no more. It's interesting, isn't it?
No, it doesn't happen no more. That's I think that's a shame, mate.
Yeah.
You do, because you know, these young kids, they're looking up to these people. That's you know, the first team players are where they want to go. And that's exactly where we wanted to go. We wanted to, you know, be in the first team with Brian Robson, or when Brian Robson leaves, we want to make that next step up. And I think that's something that is missing now. But it's something we was lucky enough to have.
I'm sure Brian Robson was probably looking at it going, a few of these boys are going to retire me when they get.
Well, I don't know about that with Brian Robson.
He was great, wasn't he?
Oh, what a player. But say, we were lucky as well, because the timing of it, they just won the league from not winning it for 30 years or something. So they were the ones who had the real pressure, really,
of
bringing the club back to where it should be. And then we were lucky enough just to be in the same building as them, walking past the corridor, past Paul Ince, these great players great leaders and people we looked up to.
Yeah.
But someday we wanted to be with them and you know, surpassing them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I just thinking now, 1994, you make your debut in the League Cup, you score two goals. I'm just trying to think of it from Alex Ferguson's perspective. He just won the league, but he's, like you said, them great players. You got this great youth team, and continuously you're putting in yourself, Butty, Bex, Giggsy, and everyone's hitting the ground running. But to score two goals with your debut, how did that feel for you?
Yeah, it was great. It was brilliant. Yeah. It was the first time, actually. No, it's a known thing now, but in the League Cup, that teams just totally change 11 players. That was the first time it had been done. Yeah. I think there was even...
Was there pushback at the time for that? I imagine there would have been.
Yeah, there was a bit of aggro. I think the manager got a bit of stick for it, to be honest. Yeah. In the first place, I think he even went to Parliament or something. It was that.
I remember something like that.
It was that unknown of, and people thought it was strange. But he did it because he believed... Well, you know, got great reputation with young players. He believed in, you know, as a group of young players, that we were good enough to go on, possibly not to do what we did, but he thought we was good enough to replace the players that eventually, you know, I had to leave and had to retire. So yeah, it was great. I think Brian McClure and David May were possibly the only first team established players that played in the game. And it was something, yeah, it was special. I was a centre forward then, actually. Yeah. So
off the front, man.
Off the front, well, more of a number nine, actually.
Really?
Believe it or not, yeah. I was more like a goal scorer. And yeah, managed to score two goals. And it was a Port Vale League One team, possibly now.
So you was a number nine?
I grew up as a number nine.
Did you?
Yeah. Never, ever played midfield. Honestly, I was just a goal scorer.
Yeah. Well, that would explain the finishing, but like, I just can't, I can't envision you.
Well, I'm not. Well, look at me. I'm not a number nine. And I grew up from being 9-10 years of age, playing in a football team. I was just a centre forward who scored goals all the time.
Yeah.
Came then to the youth team as a centre forward again.
Yeah.
Eric Harrison always said to me, you'll be a central midfield player.
Yeah.
And then the asthma thing kicked in. And you think, I just won't have the energy. I won't be able to, you know, be a centre midfield football in professional football, to be honest with you. But he always said I would be, he was convinced I would be. And he ended up being right, really.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's he must be a visionary. So you eventually, from 94, nothing's holding you back, and you're joining in, you're in the dressing room, you're winning games, you're scoring your league debut, you know, and you're playing with people. Like, talk to me about one of my favourite players of all time, Cantona. And it looked like he was the perfect role model for you young players coming through.
Yeah, he was. Look, don't get me wrong, the old team was very professional. You could see when you saw him training, you could feel when the big game was coming and they had to train right. But with Eric, it was different. Probably one of the first foreign players really to come to the team, I think. I don't know that. But he was in the gym at 9 o'clock in the morning before training. Yeah. He was stretching, doing his weights, making sure he's ready for training, then doing everything proper in training.
Yeah.
He's out on a pitch for half an hour practicing after training with his technique and his shooting, his or whatever it may be, his heading. And then he's back in the gym afterwards as well.
Whereas
I was just used to getting there 5 minutes before training, going out and training, and off you go home straight after, a bit of lunch, off you go. But he was so professional, a great example for for all of it. And to be fair, the full team are a great example for us young lads coming through.
Do you know, from outsider looking in, I think like Ferguson, Sir Alex, he made this culture at the club where even players who didn't make the grade at Manchester United but come through the youth team, they had that Man United way about them. Like, it's that sort of the competitiveness and almost not, it's not an arrogance, it's like a competitiveness, and it's a drive that I think is installed. Was that just from the manager, do you think that was something he drip-fed through his senior players? I mean, because that's the golden goose. If you can get...
Yeah.
That was 20 years of that as well.
Yeah, well, I think ultimately it has to come from your manager, doesn't it? And then obviously that will drip for you, as you say, to the senior players. But the one word he always used was desire.
Yeah.
That desire and determination to win games of football. Even when you're not at your best, there's always there's that competitive edge in. If he sensed for 1 minute that desire had possibly gone out of you.
Was he a master at sensing it in players? Because he seemed to get players out the door in this period in particular.
Yeah.
I know he had you guys coming through, but do you think he was brilliant that, weren't he, Ferguson?
Yeah, he was brilliant. He was just that psychological edge over him. If you shown a little bit of weakness or a little bit of...
Yeah,
a little bit of a sign that desire or that hunger, that fire in your belly had gone. He was on it straight away.
Yeah,
you know, pre-season especially, that was, you know, first day of training. If you come back from winning the league or you've won the FA Cup, he knows then that's the time, right? And he's ready to go again.
Yeah,
and most of the time he knew who he was and who he wasn't.
Yeah, well, that's why you dominated the game, particularly throughout the 90s. You know, culminating in 99. You know, I mean, that's a special time for the club. You went to win, you won trebles, you won FA Cups, leading up to, you seem to win everything. What did you think made that team in 99? So I think I've heard you saying you think that was the best squad that you played
in. I think so, yeah. I think
what
made
it so special?
I just think, obviously there's a talented group of players, but everybody was together. The squad was big. Whoever came into play, whether it was any injuries, there was always someone who was just as good,
yeah,
if not better than the person that had been replaced. And the spirit was amazing. Yeah. And I when I think of great football, I always think about the forwards, centre forwards.
Yeah.
I think that team had four of the best centre forwards it's been.
Yeah.
You could start with Andy Cole and Dwight York.
Yeah.
And if it's not happening for them after an hour, you got Teddy Sheringham, Ollie Gunnar.
Unbelievable, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that was just, I just think that was the beauty of that team. And it just never kept going. There's obviously disappointments, and we were mentally strong as well.
Yeah,
and there's always going to be pressure to win, of course, especially when you come down to the last week, the last 2 weeks. Because the trouble wasn't really spoke of that much until probably be Arsenal in the semi-final at the FA Cup. So you know what a great team Arsenal were. And then that led to the final of the FA Cup, and then Tottenham, and finally Bayern Munich. But I just think the spirit in the squad, the quality of the squad, and the centre forwards, I just felt with them centre forwards, you score goals all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, we might concede, but I always felt with them forwards, you give them service.
Yeah.
There's just so many goals there.
I think that's, I made my debut in 99, and like it was daunting coming up against Manchester United at Old Trafford. You played in the game again, that the forwards were a joke. When they used to get the ball and you or Becks used to just turn it round the corner and they had the overs in the locker. I don't remember seeing a team better at that link up between the two forwards, and it was just like honestly it was such an eye opener for a player from coming to play against you.
And you know what, it probably wasn't worked on that much in training, you know. It's just
really,
I think there was just that much of an understanding of what the manager wants, obviously, because he was desperate for his team to score goals.
He
wanted people entertained.
Yeah.
If you pass the ball backwards, you got killed half the time.
Yeah.
So he knew his forwards were the strongest part of his team. Get the ball to your forwards. It was simple.
Yeah.
And the understanding they then had with each other. Because I always remember with Brian Kidd, probably shouldn't say this on air, but I used to pick Kidd up when we were going to away games and stuff, for maintenance services, and we were going to sign Dwight York. And he actually said at times, Dwight York and Andy Cole can't play together. There's no chance. Absolutely no chance. And then, you look, and the connection they had on and off the field was...
Yeah.
Well, you know what, you can't predict that.
No.
It might have been a lot of people's opinion, you don't know, but eventually when they came together, Jesus.
Yeah.
What a pairing.
Yeah. Andy Cole, it was just unbelievable. Remember, I think it was a game in Juventus. Incredible. I mean, you had a massive part to play in that, leading up goals against Inter Milan. You know, but to miss the final, Scholesy, for a kid from Manchester United, how tough was that?
Yeah, look, it was disappointing, but it's something you just have to deal with, don't you? I won't be the first, and I won't be the last. Roy was the same as well.
People forget that you and Roy missed the game, the heartbeat and Man United. That's how good the squad was.
Yeah, well, exactly. And do you know what? It'd probably debatable if I'd have played anyway, because in a lot of them European games that year, away from home especially, I didn't play.
Right.
Because as a central midfield player, I was probably lacked a little bit of discipline in actually playing that position. And because I didn't grow up playing that position, I probably didn't know it as well as other people. Whereas Roy was brilliant in that position, Nicky Butt was brilliant, they played that position well. I was just concentrating on scoring goals, I just wanted to get forward. And in European away games especially, it probably wasn't more suited. So, look, I might have played some part of it, but whether I started, I don't know. But Roy definitely was a big miss. And watching the game, we didn't play that well. We were quite lucky, really. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
But as I said, our forward players, you always know there's a chance we can score goals. And we left it a little bit late, but managed to do it.
Yeah, it was certainly iconic. I was actually in Manchester watching it.
Was it really?
Yeah. Yeah, don't tell no one. I was in a pub in Manchester. I come up to see me pal and ended up, I got right involved. Does that mean you're watching football?
I can imagine.
Let me tell you, Manchester was a good night that night.
Yeah.
BT Sport Pods. Our paths crossed with England. You and Phil, when I turned up at Bisham Abbey as an 18-year-old, like my mum and dad dropped me off and you're nervous, and you guys were the first ones I've seen. You had a chat with me, made me feel welcome. You know, and then we ended up, I think that was 99 maybe. And then we ended up, I mean, 2002 World Cup, he was playing central mid. I mean, from my perspective, in your England career, you know, you used, certainly when I was there, you used on the left, weren't you? Was that a source of frustration for you? Because I looked at you and think, you're the best central midfielder in the country. You know, it just seemed like I could sense a frustration.
No, I don't think it was that frustrated, Joe, to be honest, because obviously you had Stephen and Frank as well, two brilliant players, two brilliant centre midfielders that Sven obviously had a problem with. I think the trouble when I play centre, people, they expected me to score goals all the time from that position.
Yeah.
And I think the older I got, I became more of a controlling midfield player.
Yeah.
Which I think probably would have been more suited to playing for England in those type of games. I think the left-hand side, I don't think that was a problem, Joe. Probably I just didn't play as well for England as I did for United, because I played a lot for Man United in that left-hand side position, because Ryan obviously had a lot of injury problems, hamstrings and backs, and whenever he wasn't playing, I did actually play off the left-hand side. Obviously, I'm not going to be a wide player.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be going down the outside. And, but I always find it a nice little position to play.
Yeah.
Because you can get yourself into the box, you can free yourself. There's not many. The fullback doesn't know whether to come towards you. The centre midfielder player's obviously worried about his central midfield player. So I found it a great position for Man United. Just for England, it just never had the same understanding in that role, I don't think.
Yeah, I look back at it and think maybe we could have done something a bit more clever tactically. Maybe you, Frank and Stevie in a three would have been... I know you got Bex as well, though. I mean, it's hard to get Bex, you all in, but maybe that was Sven trying to get the best players in rather than the players that were going to tactically get it right.
Yeah, possibly. That probably would have... As you know, I wasn't the greatest athlete. Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't be able to get around the pitch all day and... Probably play my best football for United from being 29, 30 years of age, to be honest with you, in that role where people didn't expect me to go in the box all the time, didn't expect me to score goals. I think with England, when I wasn't scoring goals, it was like I was having a bad game. You've got to, because of what I'd done early in my career, because of the centre-forward stuff and the number 10 stuff, people just expected me to score goals. It wasn't until later, especially with Man United, that the manager just wanted me to sit and wanted to look and get forward every now and again, but be a different type of midfield player. And I think that different type of midfield player I became would have been easy with England. But it might have been better with maybe a Glenn Hoddle as a coach, you know, later in the England career.
You
think of Sven, it was just 4-4-2.
Yeah.
Standard 4-4-2. You're expecting this foreign coach to come in with all these big ideas. 4-4-2 was just simple, and you know, as I was getting into my late 20s, that probably didn't suit the qualities I had, really.
We never held on to the ball enough in the national football in the big games. It was too hectic. We was backwards. When I look back, I feel it's a real miss for the country. The players like yourself, Frank and Stevie, the great players we had, we could have done something and we could have had better tactically to handle the ball, but it wasn't meant to be. I mean, just from my perspective, watching you play, because obviously we played a similar, I was ended up as a winger, but at the time I was a midfielder. So it was a privilege to train with you and watch and try and learn from you, you know. And then when you retired in 2004, it opened I wouldn't have played. I had 56 game caps for England. I don't think I'd have played if you'd have carried on playing. Was that a tough decision, Scholesy, to walk away at that time?
Yeah, it was horrible. I really didn't want to. Well, I did want to do it because I did it, obviously, but it wasn't something that I enjoyed doing.
Yeah.
I just wasn't, with England, I just wasn't enjoying playing the football.
Yeah.
Obviously, I wasn't enjoying being away from home.
Yeah.
I had young kids, I had three young kids, and you know, going away 6 weeks at a time, I just didn't like it, and I felt that was probably affecting what was happening on the pitch as well, so I decided that was that, but Do I regret it? Slightly, because I could say from retire, I think I was 29 at the time, and then became a different player really for United, in a different position, and I think that position would have been suited to play for England for them another 3 or 4 years, but look, it happened, and that's that.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to respect that, Scholes. You march to your own drum, and that's how you feel. I'm just going back to then. I'm sure, wasn't there in 2010? Did Fabio talk about coming out of retirement, and was that tempting?
Yeah, it was tempting because my form was good. I felt good, felt fit. How old would I have been then, 2010? I think I'm old.
Mid-30s, maybe?
Mid-30s, yeah, would have been, yeah.
But you was obviously, like you said, you're playing some of your best football. I remember playing against you later on, and you was always, all you'd done was just dedicated, you just controlled the game, didn't you? Whereas when you was a younger man, I used to play central against you was a nightmare, because you'd go beyond all the time. So you just...
Well, that's what the manager wanted me to do. He knew, especially in, like I said before, when I was younger playing in European games, I wouldn't play.
Yeah.
But towards the end, it was more, because you need to get to control in the middle of the pitch. We found that with England. We never had possession of the ball, did we?
Yeah.
That was something that we needed to do. You just adjust to it, don't you?
Yeah.
I managed to do it.
This ain't on the script, but I like to ask you a question, because you've obviously finished your career, 11 league titles, 2 Champions League, countless cups and everything. The football world, the players, know what a great, great player you are. But in your career, you shied away from the media, didn't you? And man, there was loads of individual honours, but I mean, I feel you're one of the most talented players I've had the pleasure of playing with. Do you think, Scholesy, that maybe, not that you regret it, but I don't even know how to frame the question, but you was never the one who pushed yourself in front for the image,
I always like to be in the background.
You always like to be in the background, and you're happy with
I'm
that?
I'm very happy.
There's no part of you that thinks?
Not one bit.
Yeah?
No, I'm up in the background now, right throughout my life, happy in the background.
Yeah.
The only people I wanted to please and had to please was the manager, his staff, your teammates and fans. That's the only thing I was interested in.
So that humility and lack of ego doesn't, with your unbelievable talent, it don't match up. You know what I mean? If you was I can imagine.
People are different. Everyone's different. Yeah. There's some, you see egos of some people and the way they've pushed themselves media-wise, who sometimes probably aren't that talented, but that's what they like.
Yeah.
They like that stuff. I like being in the background, not really being at the forefront, I think, just being behind people, and I was happy that way.
Just talking about, I remember Pele talking around you, but Xavi, he's a quote from him, Paul Scholes, a role model for me, he's the best central midfielder I've seen in the last 15, 20 years, he's expected. I mean, I know, I like it when players say nice things about me, but Xavi, that's the stuff that you want. If you're going to have any kind of praise, that's what you'd like to hear from your fellow pros.
Of course you do, from your teammates, whoever it is, someone just said they love playing with you.
Brilliant.
That's great. That makes me more happy than anything else. People like Xavi and Iniesta apparently have said all these nice things, and these are, it's great respect. They're the best players in the world. These are the ones, they win World Cups, they win European Cups all the time. So to get for them to say nice stuff, look, it's great, it's brilliant, and thank you.
It's an unbelievable career. I mean, from 2000 to 2011, some of the goals you scored were iconic. What was your favourite one? I'm going to say the one you scored against Bradford, no, Villa, the volley. Is it Villa? Did it on the first time. I remember doing that, but I remember doing sessions, and I tell people about it, with England.
We used to do it all the time, didn't we?
Do it all the time.
Yeah.
Now,
with Steve.
Yeah, and you used to like you said, let me talk about, as a younger player, trying to, I was like, right, if Scholes, you can do this, I've got to be able to do it, and you'd just be hitting it clean every time, and I'd catch maybe one in three clean.
I don't know
but you was like, and I remember there was one session in South Africa, I was watching you, and J-Mo was in goal, and Bex was clipping them, and that volley you scored against Bradford and Villa, that type of volley, you scored it. I reckon it was about 8 out of 10. J-Mo was pulling his hair out and the lads were just sitting down going, wow. Was that one of your favourite goals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was obviously the Bradford one as well, yeah. Straight from the corner. And the Aston Villa was the best one.
That's the best one, wasn't it?
But it was practice. I remember doing it with you all the time. Me and you used to stay behind him, shooting with Steve McLaren all the time. I always felt if you practice, then there's every chance it's going to happen in the game. The amount of time I used to see at Man United, you've got centre forwards, you don't do shooting.
It's incredible, isn't it?
A lot of shooting practice after a game, but I just couldn't get it. The big example of that was Berbatov.
Yes, I've been told about this.
Great talent, unbelievable talent. Never did any finishing. Now, look, don't get me wrong, he scored some great goals.
Yeah.
But he'd never. Berby going to do a few shots after the game? No. Just sit down and watch. I don't know what it was. It must be a mentality behind it. Maybe he's saving it for the game. I don't know. And then there's other people you think of Ruud van Nistelrooy. Would just shoot all day long.
Yeah.
Didn't want to play football. He just wanted to bang the ball in the back of the net. And you know, you get your rewards and that. But everybody's different, aren't they?
Yeah. Everyone's different. And that gets me on to, I wanted to ask you about, Cristiano Ronaldo. Because he came into United and Rio said to me that he was like just a drive to get better. Yeah. And that must have been how old would you have been when he came in? 29? You've seen that talent coming in. Did you foresee how good he was going to be? Really?
I don't think anybody could have foreseen what he went on to do. We knew he was good, talented, hard working, but to go on to do what he did, him out, to score 900 goals or something. Yeah. Ridiculous, but look, talent was there. The work ethic, as you said, Rio said, the work ethic was unbelievable. And again, it wasn't just on the training pitch, it was in the gym.
Yeah.
He used to train with his weights on his ankles to make his. Yeah. He was a really skinny kid when he first came.
I remember.
Was he 17, 18?
Yeah.
Really skinny, slight kid. Needed to learn a lot, especially in the English game, but. Mm. He worked at him before you knew it. You see his physique now. In a couple of years, his physique was brilliant. He was flying past people easily, making better decisions. But that's all a part of growing up. And he had some experienced people around him to help him get through that, which is the reason why experienced players are there for when young players are coming through.
He almost had like the perfect. If you could have mapped his career out. As a young man, you'd have said, right, go to Manchester United, work with Alex Ferguson, work with Ryan Giggs, Paul Scholes, and all the
Roy Keane,
all the great, you know, because the mindset, it was like the perfect way to start his big career, wasn't it? Was he the best player you've played with?
No, Ryan Giggs the best player I've played with.
Wow.
Maybe if it had been with Cristiano during his Madrid days,
yeah.
Maybe a little bit different. But do you know what? No, it wouldn't have been different. Giggsy was unbelievable.
Giggsy.
A player that could do absolutely everything as a young player.
Yeah.
You know, dribbling, going past people, scoring goals, creating goals. And then even more, what I found even better was late in his career going into centre midfield.
Yeah.
He was, you know, he just stood the test of time, didn't he? Again, people have to change the way they play, and he did.
Yeah.
But he was brilliant at it. Played centre midfield for the last 2 or 3 years of his career till he was 40.
PFA Player of the Year, wasn't he? At like 37.
Yeah, ridiculous. Young Player of the Year, whatever he was. But he was the one player. I know a lot of people talk about big European nights on a Wednesday night, Tuesday night, whatever, against Juventus, Barcelona's. You give him the ball, he just lights the whole place up with a dribble and a shot, and he just got the whole place going within 2 minutes, and from then on it was quite easy.
Wow, that's a big shout. But you've played with him, so I love Giggsy. I think he's he was like, again, the early Giggsy was just, you couldn't catch him, could you?
No, he was the best.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, again, 99, you missed. Can't believe they're making me talk about this again. This is like this is like therapy for me now. I've had a few lads. You get to 08, which I think's the best United team I've played against from a, because
Well, a lot of people, Gary Neville does.
Gary, he thinks that, yeah. We go to that, we go to Moscow. Game, it's, that was the obviously the worst experience and one of the worst games, because playing against your rivals in that level. But for yourself, after missing 99, how special was it to be given a nod on that night? Did you expect to, you was at your prime? Or?
No, I wasn't. I was a long way from my prime. I was a 34 at the time, 33.
Yeah.
Didn't feel great physically, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah, I felt like I was struggling. And I didn't want it to be a sympathy vote, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
A lot of people still talk about 99, not playing. Yeah. And I know the manager was asked that leading up to it. And something inside me felt like it was a little bit of a sympathy vote that I was going to play.
Mm.
Rightly or wrongly, that was just the way it felt. And you know, physically, I just wasn't.
Mm.
I knew legs wise, I didn't feel great. But played, didn't have a lot of involvement in the game, to be honest. I had a little clash with Makalele early on, which broke my nose. Bit of blood everywhere. But yeah, look, it was all right. Obviously, like you say as well, it's a bit not disappointing. You don't want to play against an English team.
No.
In the biggest game. You're expecting a whatever European team it is. Feels slightly wrong about it.
Yeah.
But we knew how good Chelsea were.
Yeah.
We knew. I don't think you were. Don't take this wrong. You weren't a brilliant football team. You weren't going to keep possession all the time. But you were effective.
Yeah.
Great players in your team, yourself, and you know, Frank with his goals from the field, Drogba with his the power he's got, the strength, the goals, Balak, Makalele, John Terry, Peter Cech.
Yeah.
You were a great team. And look, it was 50-50, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I've said this before, rightly or wrongly, when I was thinking about leading up to that game, it might sound stupid, this, I just thought, how could Avram Grant beat Alex Ferguson?
Yeah.
I don't know what, look.
Great manager.
I just looked at both managers, thought, it's just not possible. I know it is possible,
it's
a stupid way to think, but
yeah.
I just thought the stature of the both managers, the presence of our manager against your manager, I thought, we just, I don't think we can lose, but really we should have done. Obviously John slipped and missed his penalty, but it was a good game, wasn't it, actually? We actually missed some chances. And
I think both teams missed chances.
Yeah.
Post was hitting both. Do you know what the funny thing was?
Chance, didn't he?
BT Sport Pods. I mean, obviously, I never won the Champions League. I went 4 semi-finals and a final I lost.
Yeah.
You know, and it's sort of, it is what it is. You know, what can you do? You can't change time. But that game in particular, I remember a lot of my career, but I don't remember that game. I didn't, for instance, know that it was raining. Someone told me about 4 years ago, it was there. I said, I remember it. It was raining all through the game. It was raining.
Was it raining all through the game? I remember it at the end.
Yeah.
Got soaked, but I don't remember.
No, see, I didn't even remember because I must have just gone like, park that up, because we had to meet up with England 4 days later, and that
strange.
that was brutal. Because you guys were lifting it in the heights, and we was on the floor losing to your rival. But you know, for Chelsea, it happened 4 years later in 2012. Unfortunately, I'd left.
Yeah.
But I mean, was that the pinnacle, winning the Champions League for you in that and playing?
I love winning the league.
Yeah.
I absolutely love winning the league. I think it's harder to win the league.
Yeah.
People may say differently. And do you know what? No, I might be wrong there. If I look back at the Champions Leagues, keep calling it European Cup, the Champions Leagues, it probably was a bit harder because of the competition.
Yeah.
Because when we were trying to win it, you had the great Barcelona team.
Yes.
You had the great Real Madrid team.
Yeah.
And they're nothing like that. Them clubs, them teams are nothing like they are now. Bayern Munich.
Weird.
Oh my
Man
God.
City and Liverpool now are the two best sides in Europe, no doubt. I know.
Yeah.
I know that sounds insane. Well, Real Madrid got the job done, but.
Yeah, it's remarkable, really.
Yeah,
that
it's
one
remarkable
that one of those teams didn't make it. I think it's getting harder to win the league now because there's a lot more.
Yes.
There's a lot more better teams. When us and your team, Chelsea, were going for leagues, you probably only had one main rival, didn't you?
Yeah.
You think of, well, us two together.
Yeah.
And when we were going for leagues,
Arsenal,
great Arsenal team.
Yeah.
Liverpool, every now and again, were up there. Chelsea, obviously, with Jose, were different. But now you think there's top six or seven teams, you think they could all beat each other. But Liverpool and City are still a way ahead. But like I say, I think in a different era, well, anyone can say that, can't we? We might have won the Champions League a few more times, but them teams we came up with, the best of the best.
Yeah.
Real Madrid, Barcelona, ridiculous.
I don't think, Scholesy, there'll be, I might be wrong, but I don't think there'll be players to come along. Certainly not Manchester United for a long time to have put the kind of trophy haul together that you've done, and you know your Ryan Giggs is that, you know, Neves and that, you know, it was incredible. And you know, one other thing that I find incredible about your career is you retired, and I remember hearing the rumours. I've popped down the football update. Scholes is coming out of retirement. I think of all the players I've played with, there's probably only one. There's a handful of people who I think could have done that. Because of your technical ability was so supreme, you just have to, like, we're getting fit for 2 weeks and it'll be great. And then you come back and you won another league. I mean, what was the thought process about? What was there something missing? Did you, or the urge to get back, or?
Yeah, well, I think the first time I was 35 on it. And like I said, a couple of years before in the Champions League, I didn't feel great.
Right.
Physically, I just felt like I was, just couldn't live with playing against the best players anymore.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted to do. The manager always said, look, you play your 20 games, your 25 games, plus probably against, probably not the biggest games.
Yeah.
And I wanted to play in the big games.
Right.
You know yourself, every player wants to play in the big games, and you want to give a good account of yourself. Of course you do, but I just wasn't feeling great. I'd had 3 months off. The manager wanted me to come and coach with the reserves.
Right.
I kind of got forced into that in a way because coaching was never something I was really that interested. Don't get me wrong, when I do it, when I have to do it, I do quite enjoy it.
Yeah.
But it was never something I really wanted to go into. And he wanted me to come back out, extended break, came in with Warren Joyce with the reserves. And the reserves at United at that time, under 23s, whatever it was, had a really talented bunch of players.
Right.
They were the likes of Paul Pogba, Jesse Lingard, all these types of lads that, you know,
had
were good and they were beating every week.
And
because I wasn't interested that much in the culture, I just ended up training.
Yeah.
So, and Warren Joyce is known, he's training his hard.
Yeah.
He has the fittest team in the club without a doubt. And, you know, international breaks, first team players don't want to go and train with Joyce because it's that hard. But Bryn, I really enjoyed it. We got to Christmas time and the team was struggling, really. They had a few injuries. I think Rafa da Silva or Fabio, one of the twins, was playing centre midfield. It was there against Blackburn and we got beat.
Yeah.
So I said it to Joyce, I felt fit, I felt great. I might come back. I fancy coming back and playing again.
So you asked or let it, or did
you? Yeah, I just threw a few feelers out first, see what staff thought. I went to see Joyce, Mick Phelan as well.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, go for it. So I went to see the manager one morning and he said, yeah, great, let's get it done.
That's amazing. But was there, when you retired initially, was there pushback? Was the manager like Scholesy, you've got years in you, or was he accepting of it?
Yeah, he was very accepting of it. He did want me to sign another year, as I said, for 15. He said, look, you get your 15, 20 games. I was never very good at preparing myself for a game, you know, every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
Right.
Whereas someone like Ryan Giggs, he'd do it perfectly.
Right.
He'd go in, he'd have a rest day.
Yeah.
He'd go and do his yoga. He wouldn't go out to train. He'd just go out. I just wanted to train.
I just wanted
to play football every day and be out on the training pitch. I didn't want to do all that other stuff. So as far as preparations goes, I just didn't think that would suit me. I didn't think I'd be able to do it. So decided to come back and thankfully the manager wanted me. When you say winning a league, the year I came back, with 6 months to go, we actually lost the league.
Right.
When Aguero.
Yes.
Don't like saying that. With Martin Tyler's famous commentary, commentary obviously. We went up at Sunderland and for do you know what? We went to that Sunderland game though, thinking we've got absolutely no chance.
Yeah, QPR, City,
QPR at home, and our game had finished and they were getting beat.
They've almost teased you, ain't they?
Yeah. But still, I still didn't believe it, do you know what I mean? Just didn't believe it. How can it be possible? And then, lucky, and then it didn't happen. And we won the league the year after. Obviously, Robin came, had a big influence, but I was gone then. I remember that season after we actually played Tottenham here. Might have been the first home game of the season. Yeah. And, oh, God. I remember playing against Gareth Bale. Gareth Bale flew past me a couple of times. I thought, oh, Jesus Christ. And I couldn't go and retire again right at the start of the season. So I just tried my best to get through it. I didn't really contribute. Well, I can't remember, 10, 15 games or something.
Yeah.
So I don't count it. I've still got the medal, but it's not really... Yeah.
Listen, no one would begrudge you that, certainly at Manchester United, but there's definitely no more comebacks now. That's it, done.
No, well, done.
Yeah. So, since you've been retired, you've taken some time off, but you took the Oldham job. You said earlier on, your boyhood club. Was that a labour of love, Scholesy, or was it something that I suppose the question is, did you enjoy it? Would you do it again? Would you get back into that side of it?
Do you know what, at the time, I really enjoyed it. Yeah. I loved being at that club, and I thought, culture was never really something I enjoyed, but I was struggling finding something that I did enjoy.
Yeah.
I'd done a little bit of media work, obviously with BT, but
yeah,
I'm not saying it's something that I love doing.
Yeah.
I couldn't replace playing football. Being a manager didn't replace it. It only lasted for a month, but while I was there, I really enjoyed it. There were circumstances that made it very difficult to do it, and I'd been warned about it.
Mm.
I knew it was a risk.
Yeah.
I knew what I was getting into, but was just hoping that it wouldn't come.
I'd
heard all the stories just wouldn't come, but it did, and.
Yeah.
It had happened two or three times, and like I said, the first time it happens, and I say, look, I can't be dealing with that. I don't want to deal with it. Yeah. And then, the third and fourth time, would I do it again? Probably not now.
Mm.
Did a little spell off, obviously with Salford for 5 games. I enjoy it. Little short spells. Like that. I enjoy working with players.
Yeah.
It's not something I'd go looking for, touting yourself about for, but when I do it. I do quite enjoy it, so no, it's not something now I'd be looking to get into.
Yeah, I mean, listen, any young player, young professional would love to have you, but I'm with you. It's not a job you can do half heart. You've got to be ready to go to give your whole 24/7. Life to it.
It's your whole life, and I found that out very quick. I knew it'd be like that anyway.
Yeah.
You find you go into bed thinking, what am I going to do the day after? Who am I going to leave out?
It's
you can't switch off from it.
Yeah.
Like you say, people say you have your Saturday, Sunday, your Wednesdays off.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a day off, because you're constantly thinking about other players, your staff, what you're going to do, how you're going to prepare, looking at other teams.
Do you think you'd have operated better at high level? Did the players not frustrate you? Because I don't know that. But they talk about players talented
talk
coach.
About that, yeah.
We talk about with Glenn.
You think Glenn was a bit frustrated?
I thought Glenn odd.
Yeah.
Glenn, no, he says, we had to adjust because nobody could do what Glenn could do. Not so much when he was coaching you at England. I'm talking about early on in his managerial career. Did you find...
No. I never found that one, but I've heard a lot of managers who were top players complain about that. I never found that. They were a good group of lads. I didn't care so much. Obviously, I want good players and talented players, but as long as they gave you everything, I didn't really mind. And there was a lot of talent there, and they tried the best, which is, it's all you can ask for. You go in at a certain level, it's, what do you expect? You're not going to have a team like Brazil, are you? You've got to work with what you got, and I liked them.
Yeah.
Really good. They tried the best, and there was some talented players there. Obviously, we were missing things that you need to be successful, but... No, I really enjoyed it. I'd never complain about players. As long as they were giving the best, I didn't care.
No, I agree with you. I mean, well, football's loss is BT Sports gain, Scalzi. You know, we get you talking about, you know, having your knowledge on our channel. Right, quick fire round, Scalzi. Who was the most underrated player you played with?
You played with him as well. Michael Carrick.
Yes.
When I say, probably wasn't underrated massively, people knew how good he was,
but
I don't think people realised how good he was.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
yeah.
When we spoke before about a midfield player, knowing how to play that position,
yeah.
Michael was the best.
I know.
And he had real quality there as well. His passing was brilliant. Great finisher as well. Yeah, people don't realise. Brilliant finish. That side foot.
Yeah.
Brilliant finishing. Very underrated.
Do you know what? It's amazing. I say the same as well, because, I mean, we come through the youth team together at West Ham. Yeah. So I'm playing, you know, we was playing together centre mid, 4-4-2.
Yeah.
And I'm playing, I'd pop up into the hole and he'd just give you the ball every single time. Now, I thought that was normal.
Yeah.
You know, and it took me until I played with Makélélé at Chelsea again, someone of that quality. So
different.
Great shout. Absolutely great shout. If there's one moment in your career you could go back and change, what would it be?
Probably tackling Deschamps in that semi-final against Juventus where he got suspended. It wasn't a bad tackle actually, he just made a meal of it.
Yeah, I can, You have them moments, didn't you, when you're playing
for you do, But if, look, European football, it's a bit easier to get booked.
Well, you put it right, mate. if you had to bet your life, I know this answer, but I'm not. If you had to bet your life on someone to score a free kick, who would take it?
David Beckham.
Yeah. It was just unreal, wasn't it? What he could do.
Just a machine, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But practice again.
Yeah.
We'd seen it, didn't we, every day after training?
Yeah.
United, England, he was doing the same things and produced. Oh, do you know what? Percentage of free kicks are very low, aren't they?
People
scoring them. But it was brilliant.
I don't think he was in the warm up room in Japan in 2002, but he was about the size of this room. And we was all in there messing about trying to hit a clock. He walked in before the Argentina game, hit it three times in a row, the clock fell down and walked out. And I was just like, I was having one of them moments. I was like, I'm never going to get to the top. No player can do that. It was incredible.
Oh, so accurate. His free kick, his passing. Unbelievable. So people just think about his crossing, really, don't they?
But
his long passes into Andy Cole and Dwight Yorley. Brilliant.
Yeah, great player.
Yeah.
Right. Least favourite away ground?
Least favourite away ground. Don't know what I have a least favourite. The hardest is Anfield.
Yeah.
Without a shadow of a doubt for us. I don't know what it's like for Chelsea.
Same,
but for us, it was hostile, it was tight. Just a tough place to go and play football. When I finished playing football, I used to go and see this chief scout a little bit. And they always said, to find a player for Man United, an attribute we have to think about is, can they go to Anfield and play?
Is that right?
Because it's so tight, you've got to be awareness, you've got to know everything around you. You just got to be able to handle it. And Anfield was definitely tough.
Yeah, definitely, 100%. What one moment of your career would you go back and relive?
God, there's a lot of job. Winning leagues, obviously, is brilliant. As a kid, I always loved the FA Cup final.
Yeah.
It was special.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
To go to Wembley, the old Wembley.
Yeah.
As we know it, with the Twin Towers, and, you know, to score a goal in the FA Cup final was a dream.
Yeah. Newcastle,
yeah.
I remember.
The middle part of the treble, so.
Yeah.
I think that'd be it, yeah.
Yeah. Ah, good. I mean, from a younger player playing similar position to you, it was an absolute joy to just play with a few times for England in the crossover, and wish you all the very best in the future.
Cheers, Joe.
Thanks, cheers,
mate.
Pal.
Good
to see you.
Thank you.
BT Sport Pods.